board member, I know that there are 4,000 students at the Caribbean Maritime University, and there could be 6,000. I also know, and it's hard to get as a New Yorker, that admission, including room and board and uniforms and books and the whole kit and caboodle for a student in Kingston is $10,000 a year. Now that's not a lot of money when you consider that some of these kids come from not the richest backgrounds and will have this vocational training, will become a sea person, whatever, I come up,
let me first,
seafarer. Let me first preface this by saying I don't come out of a maritime background, I came out of a philanthropic background where we're supporting young global leadership. And my interest in this is these are the young global leaders of the Caribbean. Now Chinese students join in and from all around the world, so this is totally young global leadership, which is the next generation. But the average kid that goes to this school, not only is his life going to change or her life going to change, but the next generation and the next generation, your children and the grandchildren, the lives will be different because of the decisions that we make here tonight. And for $10,000, we can really put a kid on the path to becoming a seafarer. And I find that really, really exciting. So on all of your tables, you have an envelope with a pledge card for 2017. But what I'd like to do is just occurred to me that our foundation can support perhaps more than some of the individuals in this room or with the individuals in this room. So I personally, our foundation will make a commitment to match every check or every credit card contribution made tonight for the first $1,000. So if we can raise 10 people giving $1,000 each, we will match with $10,000 and we'll put two kids through school for the next year and totally transform their lives.
And we have a little bit of an announcement to make, which when Jim just generously offered to do that as a board member, I should let you know, I'm very pleased to let you know, that as of 2 days ago, the shipping company, the founder and former CEO of Sea Freight Shipping Company, made a $50,000 donation to the foundation, and this is one of three payments, a total of $150,000. So we're going to be kicking off our scholarship program with this money, and that means 10 students can actually go to school. This is pretty awesome. Combine that with what Jim is doing here, we're talking about 11 or 12 students. So Jim is graciously offering to match up to $10,000 for pledges made tonight. And you know, I work the rules. I know that all of you love this. And there's one particular gentleman who said, Janine, I want the support. And I walked with a check. Where is that gentleman? Where is he? Fern, did he leave?
No, I didn't leave. I didn't leave.
Speak up, my friend. Hello. Come on, you got to say what you're giving to us. You're going to open it and tell people.
Well,
why?
It's $1,500.
Fantastic.
Small
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Awesome. So we have, thank you. There's more to come. Thank you so much. $1,500, incredible. And so, Jim, it sounds like we have now, I'm not good at math. Literature was my subject. So 10 minus 15, what does that mean?
$8,500.
So you can get off the hook somehow. If the video begins to work, we'll take a break. But if it doesn't, you're on the hot seat.
So let's introduce Michelle. Here, she'll take it, or a credit card.
Right here.
But we'd like 8.5 other people to contribute $1,000. If you want to do $500, whatever's good for you. But I will match up to $10,000 tonight, so we can put two more kids through school. Now listen, if we in New York can't put two kids in Kingston through school when they've got 4,000 in school already, you know, we've got to be able to do two. That's just ridiculous. We have more resources up here than they have in Jamaica. And we need to come together as a community and make a commitment for putting two kids through tonight. So I need you to step forward and talk to Michelle, and let's make this happen.
I wonder if I made a mistake by telling you about that grant. Maybe you think we're too rich? So come on, guys. We can do better than that. Please.
So who else?
Like, Georgia, did Georgia? Georgia Nomikos. No, Georgia!
Georgia Nomikos. This is Georgia Nomikos. Georgia, why is it important to help kids around the world move up? And, yeah.
How else are we going to change the world if we don't... If we don't make changes and if we don't support the youth, it's very important. Paideia, which is a Hellenic word, it's social upbringing. You can have a million diplomas. If you have paideia, you have no education. And it's very important to start from very, very young. We need to educate our children. First, to be good human beings, and then the rest happens. It happens automatically and naturally. And I'm here, Geneve, to support you. Congratulations. You are an amazing woman. You are original. You are full of light. You're full of light. And I'm honored to be your friend. And I will support you. It's not much. I'm going to give $1,000. Not much. But there's more to come. Thank you very much for having me here tonight and meeting everybody. Thank you.
Fantastic. So we've raised $2,500, or a total of $5,000 so far. Would anyone else like to come forward? Here's one.
I do.
Also, because we're wearing the same top.
Good evening, everyone. This is on behalf of a phenomenal woman, Miss Beverly Nichols, supporting Dr. Metzger, who is equally phenomenal. Thank you. Nice. Congratulations. We believe in the promise of education. Thank you. $1,000.
So we have $3,500 or $7,000 total. Let's push this up and take care of at least one kid in Kingston. Who would like to step forward?
We have someone writing.
Okay.
Right now.
Michelle, come to the microphone. Introduce yourself.
Good evening. So my name is Michelle Nicholas. I am a member of the board. I'm a member of the board because of this amazing woman. I'm from Guyana, and it is a privilege and honor for me to be here this evening. Primarily why I'm going to be at the podium right now is to encourage you to give. My background is fundraising, and that's what I'm bringing right now. So I want you to know that it takes a lot to have a donor, a board member, say, I'm going to commit $10,000. And so if he's committing this and he's saying that, look, I will match this, think about it. You might have $20 in your pocket. You might have $100 in your pocket. We will take it tonight because we do not want him to leave and say, well, we only got five, so I can only match five. So please think about it. Five, 10, 15, 20, 5,000. We'll take it all. So just, I'm right here. I am right here. And he's coming over. Yes, please come. Come on over and share what you're giving.
Well, this is for Jenny. CG. I was making a donation here for Towa Frozen Foods. $1,000.
Yes. Let me tell you, if you are in New York and you have gone to a pizzeria or your supermarket, you're going to see Towa and Patties. Okay? That is the company. They are the oldest Caribbean business in America. Over 6 years in this company. Thank you so much.
What you want to tell you is that in her early years, she did marketing for us.
When I started my marketing company in 1981, they were my first client. So really, we go way, way back.
Okay, so we're up to 4,500, and we're giving the mic to another person.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So my name is Gary Johnson. I'm the founder and CEO of Paradise Express Ferry. With me is Michael Preston, one of the partners and VP for customer experience. And while we are a new venture launching in Jamaica late next year to provide a ferry excursion experience for tourists and Jamaicans alike between Mobe, Ochi, and Negril, and we're still raising money, we see that it's very important for us to support this endeavor, and Geneve has been wonderful to us, and so on behalf of the work that she's doing, we are donating $1,000 to this endeavor.
Yes.
And we have someone else coming to the mic, sir.
Steve, are you going?
My name is Errol Taylor. I'm with Milbank Sweet. And I, of course, have had the pleasure of knowing and working with Tamika Bent, who was mentioned earlier, and was responsible for marshaling through the 501c3. Just very happy to support the organization. I am Jamaican, and I just love what you're doing, and I didn't know about the organization until my friend Sherrod Madison, who came up earlier today and gave $1,500, he introduced it to me, and he said, "You gotta go, you're Jamaican, these are your folks." And so I'm just happy to hear of all the wonderful things you're doing and happy to support it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Great, we are at 6,600 and we have someone else.
It's private.
So, I'm an art teacher in an elementary school and I'm donating tonight. I also, my wife and I, we run our own non-profit as well, working with children in conflict and non-conflict areas around the world. And hearing about this tonight and this cause really made me want to commit something. So I am committing $200 as an art teacher. Thank you. That's the equivalent of about, what, $30,000,
$40,000? I was about to make that point. So for some of you investment bankers or lawyers, that could be $30,000 or $40,000, but we'll take 10% of that tonight. That's our special. So come up with your $3,000 or $4,000 check. Sir.
Here. Well, good evening. I'm here because of Michelle. Thank you very much for having us. And I'm here bringing my friend here, Edgar Costa from Echo Jets. He's making a donation of $1,000 to your great charity. So thank you very much for having us. And let us know how else we can support.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Do we know what the sound is doing?
We don't.
Okay, so let's get a sound report, and also we need one or two more checks, and then I will mash that at the end of the evening. Come on up.
Oh, my goodness. Christine is my neighbor. She has the horses down the road.
I'm the horse.
So, Mrs. You have the horses down the road.
This is for my friend to help her get this good cause off. I'm Christina McGuire. I work for the Putnam Northern Westchester BOCES Tech Center. Okay, which helps children, and I've seen lives turned around through our programs. My husband there, Mark Hipple, he's one of the teachers, and this is fantastic because I've seen children come into our class like, what are we going to do? And then you give them this opportunity, and you say, you're going to do this, and we're going to help you do it. And some of them own their own businesses now. Okay, so through this, and these children in Jamaica and the Caribbean, who everybody forgets, okay, because it's a vacation land, but it's not. People live there, work there, and they need help. Everybody needs help. And don't forget, we all need water, because we're all drinking the same water Jesus Christ drank.
That's right.
Okay, and the dinosaurs. So I'm going to give you $500. And God bless you.
Okay, we'll keep going until the video works, but we're at 7,800. We are just shy of 10,000, and we will convene after the video if the video is ready to work. We will keep going. So, Janine, we're not going to take the pledge. You've given enough.
Okay.
So, who else would like to give? We're at 7,800. We need one or two more checks to put us up to 10.
Come on up, sir.
We like pink.
Hi, my name is Leonard Zlotniak. I'm American-Jamaican. So my family is from Jamaica. I was born here in New York. I did not come to donate today, but I was so compelled by the speeches and what I've heard today. I was invited by my friend, Sherrod Madison, and I feel just excited for what's going on. My family does own a library in Linton Park, Jamaica. My mother, myself, my brother, and anything that propels education and the betterment of Jamaica, I'm 100% for. So I'm happy to make a donation.
Thank you.
Okay, 8,300. We need 1,700 more. $1,700 more. We can do it in $50, $100, or one check of a $1,700. We're almost there. Who would like to push us over the top? You can always trust the guy with the red tie. Come on up.
My good friend Edgar Costa from Echo Jets would like to cover the difference. Edgar, would you like to come up?
So that puts us at $10,000. We will match another $10,000, and we've just put two kids through the Maritime University. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I want you to know that part of what we do, no overhead. I work for free. Okay? And if it were not for Richard and Milbank and the board giving their time free, 100% goes. And this is what we want to do. You could be sitting on their white tablecloth spending $300, in which case we pay the caterer $250, and everybody comes away. It's a great PR event, but the money stays with the caterer. We don't want to do that. We want to have an intimate gathering where the money that we raise goes, most of the money goes to the kids. We keep a little something because we got to pay for the printing and the telephone or whatever else, but it's point something percent. It goes to the students. With the kind of oversight we have from our board, people from Montgomery McCracken, people from the Luce Foundation, the oversight and the governance, you know it is being well managed. So I want to thank you so much. Now, that was exciting, but this is even more exciting. Because at the center of why the Maritime Institute was able to convert to a university, now an international institution, looking to attract people from all over the world, of course in the Caribbean, to train people in maritime, a big part of that has to do with our honoree. I needed to be quiet, please. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Our honoree this evening is the greatest voice in the maritime sector in the Caribbean where I am concerned. I doubt many would argue against that. But let me give you a little bit of his background. The Honorable L. Michael Henry has been in government since 1976. Currently of Minister of Transport and Mining, he's responsible for the government of Jamaica's multimodal transport policy that was built around the aerospace and shipping industries. He is an innovator and one of the hardest working ministers in the government of Jamaica, in my humble opinion. Presiding over the expansion of Jamaica's transportation assets and policy development, including the plan to develop a global logistics hub in Jamaica, to exploit the expansion of the Panama Canal by facilitating ships en route between the East and the West. In 2011, after major delays, he consummated the much coveted agreement that led to the maiden call by the Royal Caribbean International's Voyager of the Seas at the historic Falmouth port in Jamaica. This led to some of the world's largest cruise ships coming to Jamaica since then. He has been one of the main drivers behind Jamaica becoming one of the preeminent cruise destinations in the Caribbean. Since we're focusing on his maritime accomplishments, we won't mention that he delivered on the biggest highway development project in Jamaica's history, working with international partners from China, for example. I just did, right? I said I wouldn't mention it, but I just did. He's an author and publisher in his early career, and served as chairman of the Kingston Publishers Limited since 1980. His long and outstanding political career includes Minister of State for Information and Minister of Tourism and Agriculture. He's an unrelenting champion of the Caribbean Maritime University and has consistently held a bold vision for the institution as a major player in the Caribbean shipping industry and tertiary education in general, believing that shipping has the real potential to transform Jamaica's economy. He played a pivotal role in the transition of the CMI to university status recently. Minister, we are really delighted that you and Mrs. Henry have joined us this evening. The second year, you were here last year with us, and the ACMF is pleased to present you with our first leadership award. And I'm going to ask Richard and O'Neill, who has the award, to come forward, please. Oh, here they are. So sorry. Yes. Sorry. Yes. Minister, will you come over here, please? Absolutely. Do you need my glasses, Minister, so you can read it?
In gratitude for your invaluable support to the transition of the Caribbean Maritime University.
Thank you so much.
Good evening, everyone. Can I crave your indulgence and utilize the what Shakespeare would have called the brevity of the soul of wit, and perhaps say all protocol has been observed. And only recognize the one person who keeps me going, my darling wife, who is here with me, so that I can go home safely tonight. But I must pay tribute to the board of the American Caribbean Maritime Foundation. And in that context, therefore, because time has been well spent, as a minister of government and as someone who has passed through the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and having served as the longest serving member of Parliament of Jamaica, I recognize that time is of essence to us all, and time is money. And that's where we are and why I'm here. But I have to draw on my ancestry. Being a Henry, I'm going to say to you, as Henry VIII said to his seventh wife, I will not keep you long. I probably would say, as Marley would say, so much things to say. Or I'd probably cite Marcus Garvey, who drives my maritime interest by saying 16 miles of Black Star Line are coming in the harbor. An industry we have never really capitalized on in our historical development. So I'm going to confine my remarks to say to you that your contributions and your tribute today speaks to the need and speak to you matching that need with your own contributions here. And to thank our chairperson, Genevieve Brown-Mitzka, for all the work that she has done in carrying this battle so far. I'm supposed to make more than one comment, I think, before I leave tomorrow. So let me put that in the context of time. In 1980, I was first elected to Parliament, so I've lived with the Jamaica Maritime Institute. I saw it grow from 300 students to where we are at 4,000 today. And I've seen that against the background of the need. But as I speak to people and countries like this, I speak with the reality that I'm still first world. But I have to remind everyone of the challenges of where we are as a country. I say that with the fact that we're the second most heavily roaded country in the world next to Japan. I say that to the fact that we have the second oldest railway in the world. When the railway was built, they said the human body could not withstand the speed of 30 miles per hour. We have a railway which at that time was considered to be the 11th wonder of the world with its engineering feat, 52 bridges, 52 tunnels, and building across a mountain chain, running along the coast, and ultimately building Europe with the transshipment of two agricultural products, namely the banana and sugar. And I have to go into those stories because when I hear logistics, I recognize that the real logistic that I saw was the shipment of bananas going into Europe. I saw that because The railway was built to connect the ports. The slaves were woken up early in the morning to cut the bananas. Those of you who know Harry Belafonte would know 6-hand, 7-hand, 8-hand bunch. And that's how you packed the bananas in the ships. And you packed it that way because there was no refrigeration in Great Britain. There were no supermarkets. Banana had to arrive at the Liverpool docks, and you had to sell off 80% of that to recover your money. If that's not the best logistics structure I've ever heard, which was used to build all of Europe, then I don't know what is. And therefore, I'll forego a lot of the things and get very quickly to the point. Because in that context of where we are, I chose two industries when I became minister in 2007. I chose the maritime industry and the aerospace industry. Because those two industries offer the greatest opportunity for employment across the world. And if you look at it now, transportation is the highest cost of any product. In fact, if you want to capitalize on the opportunity of where God placed us on the map of the world, the DeVries study shows that Jamaica can move goods and services 2 to 4 days earlier than anywhere else in the world. That you can't defeat, because the world still keeps spinning around. In that context, therefore, Jamaica has missed some opportunities, but we're capitalizing on it here. And in that capitalization, I speak to the multimodal plan, road to rail to sea to air. And I put that in the context of the development of man, because the Silk Road of China speaks to how transport moved goods. When you arrived at that on road, you have to meet on rail and marry them both together. When you marry road and rail, and then you get to the sea. I don't need to tell you, but maybe in schools today they didn't remember we once thought the earth was flat. And we thought that if we sailed out, we'd fall into an abyss. Maybe the black hole still exists. But the context in which I speak now is that also the persons who became the seafarers was what moved the goods and services. And you're all business people here, therefore you must be looking for an opportunity. That is why I'm chasing so much the air development of the air cargo hub at Burnham Field. Burnham Field is which preceded the United Nations. Burnham Field was supposed to be where, at that time before Yalta, the meetings were taking place whether you rebuild Europe or whether you build a core element of the world from which you can reach. The Burnham Field area, which we are building an air cargo plane service, connects to the fact that you now have the largest plane, which takes a 40-foot container in its belly and delivers it. And Jamaica is within 10 hours of Juliet, what is it, 2 billion people? Now, within 10 hours means that cash crops. It means that goods that don't need refrigeration in coming back can be arriving on the tables of New York, Paris, Rome, etc. It also means that Jamaica was worked to unlock the East moving across Africa into Jamaica. Those of you who travel will recognize the issue of what it means that now planes fly 17 hours nonstop. Jamaica has to capitalize on it. And I'm happy to say that today, if you went on your news, that IMF paid the greatest respect to Jamaica for the developmental plans which are being implemented right now. As the Minister of Transport and Mining, you heard it said that within 2 years of 2007, I expanded and built the Falmouth Cruise Ship Pier. As I speak to you now, I am unlocking $3 billion investment from China in Jisco Alpar for the expansion of the bauxite alumina industry. What I'm saying to you starts now. What I'm saying to you is that we must not miss the opportunity. And what I'm saying to you is that while we do that, and I've recorded some of this in my book, Many Rivers to Cross. In fact, it was a pleasure for me to hear the head of the IMF quoting that singer today. I say to you, therefore, 10 years ago, the institution had only 300 students. The Ministry of Transport and Works, under my leadership, saw the potential of this institute and made a commitment to ensure it received the support it needed to thrive. That support came from the industry. And so far, the Jamaica Maritime Institute transitioned to the university has placed 98% of its graduates in permanent jobs across the globe. The population is now over 4,000 and continues to grow. The administrative complement has increased by over 60%, and its most recent graduation ceremony The first, under the banner of a CMU, the university released over 250 graduates, all being placed in jobs across the globe. The university speaks to certified and competent to be leaders anywhere in the world, having received the best foundation at the first maritime university in the region and the only one of its kind as established at the international level, introducing the multimodal concept, which I spoke to, of seamlessly linking land, sea, and air, and of doing that in one flow of goods. Containers come through the Panama Canal, arrive at the Kingston, the most natural harbor in the world, put on the railway, which right now sits right there, the harbor, arrives at the airport, and is distributed to the world. That's the concept in which I speak and hail as the Minister of Transport. The university is defined by the following. It has the elite status of being the only international recognized maritime education and training institution in the English-speaking Caribbean. I leave here next week to go to the IMO to seek to be re-elected as we move forward, because we believe in the Blue Ocean Strategy. We believe in the issues that raise us to the next level overall. And when I speak of the Aerospace College to match the Caribbean Maritime University, I do so with the fact that if you're interested in the aerospace industry, every plane that's repaired now goes either to Singapore or to Europe to be repaired. Not even in North America, only recently Mexico has begun to be part of that. And you and I know a plane can't move if the seat belt isn't exactly fastened in. You know it can't move if the seat is torn. And I say that because we have the natural persons who you see selling by the roadsides, who are persons that could be repairing planes. So who are we at the Caribbean Maritime University? We do things differently. And that's why I pride myself to have been there at birth, to have been its bed of its first 9 delivery, and now I'm there at the birth of it being a university. And I'm very proud to be a part of that. So that we do things differently. This is evidence in our adoption of the Blue Ocean Strategy that I spoke to. And we're doing an enhancing education and training by integrating career technical education, life skills, and academics into producing industry graduates with global competence. And I could go on because I brought a stream of papers, but I tried to be an honest politician. And as I said, brevity is not only the soul of wit, because Henry VIII said I would not keep you long anyway. But our commitment is to quality. Management policies and procedures are riveted in those advocated by the international organization's ISO standards. CMU is ISO 9001:2013 certified. We aspire for nothing but the best. And if I mention a project specifically close to my heart, is the FESTA project. So that we understand, we look forward in every sense of the word to develop this type of unit of students that will be equipped for jobs as the industry itself expands and grows. But what is our student profile? Which is where you etched money out of your pockets today, or eat it out of your pockets today. And I urge you to go back deeper if you can. Because indeed, the greatest challenge I face, and I speak of that as a member of parliament, with students aspiring to reach out, aspiring to reach the greater heights. And if I took up my cellular phone, I know I've got one young man now chasing me very hard to find jobs in the maritime industry with persons who own the yachts of the world, which I think we have an equipped position to serve to. But the students of CMU are provided with the best opportunity to develop in a holistic way. However, many are unable to afford tuition, and this inability to cover financial obligations often disrupts their education. The growth potential of the CMU is tremendous, but it is hampered by limited space, restricted fiscal liberties, and a student population that is largely financially ill-equipped to sustain the university through tuition and other fees. And as it morphs into a university, it's morphed with the fact that the University of the West Indies gets $8 billion Jamaican dollars in support. I've had to speak as minister to bring this institute to a university by charitable contributions of the industry, but by also serving the industry by giving them persons who are equipped and able to produce. That therefore, Genevieve, I thank you and your board very much. I thank you for having taken up the mantle 2 years ago. I have you for bringing it to this point where you can offer us till now 50 or 100,000 or 10,000 or $1. Because indeed, the students and the reason the university exists is the reason it continuously seeks new avenues of development. The students' driven focus has resulted in the attainment of numerous awards for leadership, quality and management, multiple accreditations from international bodies, among all the forms of recognition within the maritime industry. For me, it's the fastest growing university in Jamaica. It aligns with the government of Jamaica policy of economic growth and job creation. It also offers the Global Logistic Link initiative and support achievement to develop Jamaica as one of the leading shipping functions of the areas of the world. Woefully short of resources, but never short of creativity, innovativeness, the ability to achieve, and the ability to speak to everyone with a Jamaican heart to say, we intend to challenge the world. We intend to make sure we arrive again at the right port. And I intend to hopefully see the students' population growing to 6,000 as I saw it when I saw them in 1980. And as they are confined by development, and I hope to see the maritime industry capitalize on the possibility that what we have are persons who can save this kind of industry and serve it with a great degree of integrity, commitment, honesty, and purpose. And I therefore urge you to continue. I urge you to develop. I urge you to encourage more people to come. And I urge you to let me speak earlier the next time that I can get more money for you. It's my pleasure to again support you. Thank you for the award. Thank you for me being here. And let us look forward to where we want to go because, as Bob Marley once said, so much things to say. It's my pleasure to be here with you tonight.